Welcome to Two Beards, One Garage. This is the podcast where two pizza makers living in La Crosse, Wisconsin, discuss Wisconsin sports and life without a filter. We take off the Wisconsin sports goggles and tell it like it is. This is a guys podcast, and if you are easily offended, triggered, or all the other shitty words people make up when they hear different opinions than their own, you may want to choose a better, more woker podcast to waste your time with, because we don't give two fucks. Things will most likely fly off the rails from time to time, so sit back, crack a beer, and just enjoy two dirtbags talking sports.
In a world being overrun by a bunch of douchebags, scared to speak their mind, there are two men trying to change the game, one podcast at a time. They go to great depths to secure the sacred art of tearing apart pro athletes who are much more talented, good-looking, and richer than them. Will they be able to bring the common man closer to the athletes? Probably not, but they'll go down fucking swinging as they try. This is Two Beards, One Garage.
Yo, 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 what is up, you sensitive little cunts? It is Harky and Zarecki back. With another episode of Two Beards, One Garage. Harky might be a little jagged up. We stopped at the old 608 before this podcast.
Yep.
Had, well, technically it was three beers. The last beer I had, Rico got me. It was only like an 8-ounce pour because it was almost 12%.
Yeah.
So it was one of their new, like, cacao nibs, coconut, one of those fucking dark guys.
Oh, yeah. So Laquita and I, on Monday, we decided to go to Toppling Goliath in Decorah, Iowa, which is about a little over an hour from La Crosse. And I told her to kind of, since I was driving, I mean, I was still drinking, but I said, like, you know, hey, this is like one of your last days off here, so let her rip, you know. And, but anyways, they had this stout, and it legitimately tasted like coffee. Like, just like if you had coffee with no cream or no sugar, just fucking boom. That was damn good. But yeah, if you guys are ever near Decorah, Iowa, or are looking for something to do, if you go to Decorah, Iowa, that's about the only thing there is to do there.
Yeah.
Is go to Toppling Goliath. There is another brewery called Pulpit Rock. Yes. Which is like 10 minutes away, but they weren't open at all.
You go to Pulpit, you better fucking have your wallet ready.
Really?
They're pretty proud of their shit. That's where Rico brings those back.
Oh.
And it's like, fucking, it's really good beer, but it's also, I mean, you got to be ready to pay for it.
Yeah. Which, we spent some fucking dough at Toppling Goliath, too. It was kind of funny, but, yeah, good times. So, nothing wrong with going, checking out some breweries once in a while. Can we share that on air? Whatever, who sent us that?
a listener, I'm not going to say his name just in case he doesn't want to be known, but I don't think he would care, but still. He sent me something, "We feel your pain during these hard times. Our company wants to assure you that we stand with you and have every intention of continuing to make a profit off of your purchases. We hereby guarantee that to always do our best to publicly declare our support for whichever opinions will make you keep liking us. Because all we care about is money. Money, 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 money." I think that's maybe a shout-out towards Amazon, towards all these other companies that have been kind of, taking a stance where, we didn't really want to get into it, but I just thought that was funny because, all these fucking companies that act like they're fucking with this cause and treat their workers like absolute garbage, like Amazon.
Shut up. Yeah, you get exactly. Like, I love that when they say that kind of shit.
Jeff Bezos is the first trillionaire, and he's fucking making his Amazon workers go in during a pandemic.
Yeah.
And giving them a little extra hazardous pay. Fucking Lizard King.
Lizard King. Yeah, is that based out in Seattle?
Or? I don't know where Amazon.
I want to say it is, but I could be wrong. I don't know. It sounds right, but anyways, we're going to get to a little bit of minor sports talk here. Matt Fralick today, seems like we bring his dumbass tweets up every single show. He doesn't listen anymore anyways. He's too cool for us, especially after
he's probably too busy going to bachelor parties.
Yeah, yeah, he has time for that, but instead of all the other causes he tries to support in life. But anyways, he said, Major League Baseball is dying over the last few years. Honestly, I don't know if they will ever recover with esports, UFC, and soccer making a push into the market. Oh, and baseball, and then in all caps, is not America's pastime. What do you think of that?
There's just a lot of shit. I do not want to get into the debate about America's pastime. I could fucking care less if you think baseball is great. Okay, I just kind of come to realization, it's just like, why argue about something where there's actually not like a, there's not factual evidence. There's no factual evidence to show if baseball is or is not the America's pastime.
And we're big stats guys. Like when you put something out there like that, like dumb fuck, Frey, give me a stat, give me something that would make me realize so I don't have to go do my own fucking research. And also Bob Catalina, fan favorite, everybody loves him.
Oh, yeah.
He said, who in America watches esports over, and who in America watches esports and soccer over MLB? And then he has a Conor McGregor gif that says, get the fuck out of here. And then he said, MLB is not being played right now, so no shit more people are watching it now. Also, by your 100 million viewership number, the NFL is behind League of Legends because Super Bowl viewership was at 99.9 million. And Frey goes on to say, blah, 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 about how UFC and esports have adapted. And Bobcat said, whatever. They kind of were going on about whatever it was. But, so I was digging into this a little bit. And, okay, so Frey is correct as far as baseball is dying, sort of, as far as attendance goes. In 2007, they had 80 million fans, or damn close to 80 million fans attend baseball games. Just last year, it was under 69 million. So, okay, sure, that's a decent hit. Six out of the last 7 years, it's been going down. But you're still getting 68 million fans to go. And your revenue and all that shit really hasn't drastically changed. And if anything, the TV contracts are at an all-time high. So can't really say as far as like, and if people are watching on TV, you're still making your money.
That's where a lot of the money is coming from, yeah, that's TV contracts.
And pretty sure Mike Trout signed over a $400 million contract last year, and Bryce Harper signed a 330-some-odd million. Manny Machado signed a 300 million. Like, I feel like if baseball is truly dying, those guys don't get those contracts.
Yeah, and I feel like esports is up. Z and I were talking about this today at work, and I told him that like 120,000 people watch fucking Big Cat from Barstool get his ass kicked during a fucking NCAA game, like a video game.
Yeah.
And, but again, would they be tuning in if there were live sports being played? Or are they just tuning in right now because what the fuck else do they have to do? And I also think UFC, I guess maybe West Coast games for baseball go late, but UFC doesn't start till like 7 or 8 at night.
Yeah.
And the main events are fucking close to 11:30.
Yeah.
It's just like, I don't think they're overlapping or having the same fan base.
Yeah.
I just don't think UFC fans are, not saying you can't be a UFC fan and a baseball fan, or, I mean, the trashiest listener we have, Steve Pratt, watches both.
Yeah. Yeah, so, actually, that's probably, I mean, I don't know, he would probably say two of his favorite sports.
Yeah.
So, like, yeah, I just don't think, and again, like, to say baseball is dying is kind of hilarious. And then I found an article from Sports Illustrated that the guy dug up, that wrote, or whoever, I don't know the name for the guy that wrote it, but he said he found articles that said, like, baseball has been dying for the last 100 years as far as, like, he would find an article, like, the first one he found was from, like, 1939. And it was, like, saying how players fighting with the umpires, like, pitchers were starting to hit the player or batters intentionally because they're pissed, and, like, saying everybody hates it. Well, now look at it. That's kind of, like, kind of made the game great, I thought, because now that the kind of the replay, the arguing with the ump has kind of gone away a little bit. The only thing they argue now is balls and strikes.
And, I mean, a lot of us know that the United States and all around the world, there are different races and ethnicities in baseball.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of those Latin players,
yep.
those they live, die, and breathe baseball. So you have that fan base that is
yep.
also, like, maybe not be in the esports. I mean, maybe possibly the white crowd
yeah.
is more like esports, UFC, but you got a sport that is heavily dominated by Hispanic players.
Yeah.
And their fans, I mean,
they live for that. They love
oh,
live
yeah.
for that shit. And the thing is, too, like you said, I mean, I think right now Major League Baseball close
Kobe.
To, I got to do Kobe here, too. Oh, Kobe.
That's not a good start.
Oh, jeez.
Can't play today.
Dude, that's like getting swatted for a three. The ball went right over to me, and then the same guy swatted it,
yeah.
and I tried to shoot it. That was not good. But, like, I also read in that article, like, 30% of the baseball, Major League Baseball players are, like, Hispanic. You know, so, like, yeah, it might be kind of losing its flavor in, like, America, but I don't know, the rest of the world, I don't think it's, like, necessarily going anywhere. And then I also read, it was, like, something from, like, the 1960s when Roger Maris and was it maybe Mickey Mantle? I forget now. They, like, were going for the home run record. I mean, they both hit, like, over 60 home runs, and everyone was like, baseball, something like, baseball sucked. They hit too many home runs.
Yeah, it's people that don't like baseball will easily find shit to bitch about.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's an easy sport to be like, I don't like this. I don't like too many home runs. I don't like not enough home runs. It's like, what the fuck?
Yeah,
it's like you're dealing with your wife. It's just like, fucking figure it out, you cunt.
I always geek out, like, once in a while when we watch the bar at Bluffside with all the old fuckers. And, like, if there's a game that's, like, 8-5, well, back when I, you know, 20, 30 years ago, whoever got the 3 runs first won.
That reminds me of, too, fucking NFL old fucking dipshits and even young people. The tackling's so bad in today's NFL. Have you fucking watched those old-time fucking football highlights?
Yeah.
I mean, there was fucking white dudes just running all over people and just shitty tacklers. There was also some fucking gnarly-ass hits because it was allowed, but
yeah.
there's still... I mean, when you're going for the fucking home run hit, Z-Man knows, you
oh, yeah.
fucking take a few whiffs.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't think tackling's that fucking terrible in the NFL.
Well, I would say it's not terrible, but it's not as good as it used to be. But I also think when you're only allowed however many practices a year with pads on, and they basically don't let you tackle.
But when you're watching, like, Paul Hornung run.
Oh, yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like, that tackling was not great.
And those guys weren't even shifty. They were just
no,
running
yeah,
straight.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Those old-time games,
yeah.
they act like nobody missed a tackle
no.
back then. It's like, you old fucking pieces of shit, clean off your glasses
yeah.
and realize, I think that's just how humans are, though. Back in the day, it was always better.
Yeah.
I actually listened to something today where somebody's just like, our parents just didn't understand us, and we're not going to truly understand our kids because
true.
Generations fucking change. And
yeah.
unless you're one of those loser parents that tries to act cool and be one of your kids' friends,
yeah,
you're going to be like, I don't understand these fucking dipshits.
Yeah.
Whatever they like, whatever they listen to, talk about, is fucking foreign to me, and I think that's okay.
Yeah, I do too. But, like, it is kind of funny because I do actually think 90s, like 1990 football, 1990s, that was some of the best football.
I think 80s and 90s
yeah.
was some of, like...
Because, yeah, it still was, like, hard. I felt like the passing game was starting to, like,
yeah,
kind of get elevated. But, like, it was still good hard-nosed football still. Like, if you're a wide receiver running an in route, you're getting fucking leveled.
You think they'll ever, which is weird because they're just like, oh, there's a big possibility. Not a big, but there's, like, nobody that could ever be compared to Barry Sanders.
No.
Like, coming out of college, be like, oh, this is a young Barry Sanders.
Any guy that's been sort of compared to him has always been so small.
Yeah.
And never lasts.
No.
Like, so I don't.
I mean, as a Packer fan, the only reason I was glad he retired because we didn't have to face him anymore, but as a true football fan, it fucking sucked because even watching highlights, it's just unreal. You hear about that. He went to Oklahoma State, right?
Yeah.
You hear that story?
When his dad said, cheered against him stuff?
No, the opposing coach, I think Barry Switzer for Oklahoma, Thurman Thomas was the starting running back, and he told his team, you better not fucking hurt Thurman Thomas because we don't want to face Barry Sanders.
Yeah.
Barry was a backup.
Yep. Because that's when Barry was a freshman, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then there was another story that I once saw that Barry Sanders' dad did not want him to go to Oklahoma State. He wanted him to go play at Oklahoma.
Yep.
And his dad was a pretty awesome guy. But Barry Sanders' dad told him, you go to Oklahoma State, I'll cheer for you every game except for that one. You go play at Oklahoma, you play Oklahoma, come play you, I'm going to Oklahoma. Go Sooners.
Yeah. Like, me and my brother, as kids always, of course, thought we were going to make it to the NFL. And we would ask our mom, like, hey, if we played for the Vikings or the Bears, would you cheer for us? And my mom said, no.
No.
She's like, I'd want you to do well, but I want the Packers to win.
That is, I used to always kind of think about that too, like, how hard would that be, or actually, I don't know if it would even be hard, but like, if you're in that position and someone wants to pay you millions of dollars to go play for them, I feel like it's a no-brainer, like, I don't give a shit, but goddamn, could you imagine though, like, being in that position if you had to go play for the Bears, especially the Vikings, like,
yeah.
You hear about it all the time, you see players all the time that, I grew up as a Packer fan, now play for the Vikings or the Bears or the Lions, but it's like, that would just be so, it would just be kind of weird.
For us to go work at Big Al's?
But, yeah, hey, you hear that, Big Sam? They're going to start paying us a lot more.
Hey, we need to bleach those tapes.
3 times a day at least.
But we, just speaking of Barry Sanders, though, me and Z also had a conversation earlier about Cheeseburger Eddie Lacy. Cheeseburger Eddie.
Yeah.
And how some people need to realize that all football players are not obsessed with football.
Yes.
I think Barry Sanders likes football.
Yep.
But he also, I think he was an intelligent guy, and he's just like, I'm not playing a sport where I'm going to be there unhappy all fucking year. And I think Eddie Lacy also didn't have the same mindset, but I don't think it was such an important goal for him in the NFL, and that's why he just probably didn't care enough to stay in shape.
Do you ever watch The Football Life on Barry Sanders?
I don't think so.
So Barry Sanders, when he was talking to the person for The Football Life, he said he loved Walter Payton so much when he was growing up that it was almost like surreal for him to even be like mentioned in that same category as Walter Payton.
Oh, really?
And when he took a step back after that final game that he played in, was it 1998, I think?
Yep.
When he walked off that field and he said when he got to the post game, like the media shit, that everybody was just like, he said just kind of asked him just so many questions. He said he just had enough of it. Because he said that was the main thing that drove him out of football was the first being the fucking media shit. He was basically like, I feel like, well, in a much different version, but kind of how Marshawn Lynch, like everybody always thought Marshawn Lynch was just an asshole. Like, Marshawn Lynch just doesn't want to fucking talk to the media. Barry Sanders didn't want to talk to the media.
I fucking love Marshawn. He is who he is, and he doesn't fucking...
Yeah.
I mean, not that I possibly agree with everything that he says or does, but it's just like, he is who he is,
yep.
And he's just like, fuck you, the media, why do I have to talk?
There's no faking it.
No.
Yeah. Like, kind of like after this year, like when he played the Packers and they lost. Basically, someone said, go talk to me. He didn't take one fucking question.
I wonder if Marshawn would have, instead of just saying, I don't want to talk to the media, if he would have said he has anxiety, use that word, use that trigger word, that all of a sudden the NFL makes some fucking talk, and there you got a lawsuit on your hands.
Yeah.
I have anxiety.
I don't know.
It's like you just use that word, and nobody can make you do anything.
That is so true. But yeah, it was kind of crazy, though, to think about that, how, like, Barry Sanders, like, he even said, like, Walter Payton's the best running back to ever play the game.
Yeah.
And he didn't want to break that record, almost. Because, like, that would have been, because I think, what, Emmitt Smith's a little career rushing leader, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then I think Payton,
which is weird to think he got it playing for the Cardinals.
No, he got it with the Cowboys.
Oh, he
but
did?
But he finished up with the Cardinals.
Oh.
Yeah, because I remember actually watching that Football Life on him. It was his last season with the Cowboys.
Oh.
And, I mean, he sucked that last year with the Cowboys, and his last 2 years with the Cardinals were shit. But, yeah, it is crazy. I get just such a kick out of watching Barry Sanders' highlights. Do you ever watch that one where they're, like, in a playoff game against Dallas, and Sanders, like, fucking, I don't know how the hell he broke out of this thing, but there was, like, a D-tackle.
Yeah, just looking around. He was looking the opposite way, and all of a sudden,
Sanders, like,
kept going.
Sanders
could
have slapped him on the ass on his way by. It was pretty hilarious. Actually, I did want to get to another tweet that our good listener, Bob Catalina, had. He says, there was Dan Wetzel from, I don't know what he writes for, it sounds like Yahoo Sports, but whatever it is. He said, unscientific Twitter poll, if NFL players kneel during the anthem this fall, your reaction will be, don't really care, support them, oppose them, but still watch, cancel the NFL. 57% was support them. 4% was cancel the NFL, 12% was opposed but still watch, 27% is don't really care. Bob Catalina tweeted us, said, I don't care if they kneel, stand, do jumping jacks, give me some goddamn live sports. I thought that was pretty funny. I don't know. I'm kind of the same way. If they really want to kneel, they really think that's giving us awareness or whatever, I don't know, go for it.
Yeah, it's tough bringing this up because the last podcast last Wednesday, we brought up our thoughts and it was one of our lowest listeners
ever.
So it's just like, I don't even know if our fucking fans care.
So we won't spend much time on it.
No, it's
cool.
I'm just at the point is I just don't care what, if somebody sees the flag differently than me, and I told Z today, I'm not an Army veteran, I'm not a military person, so I'm not going to be mad for them because that fucking infuriates me when people get mad for someone else when it's not, like, not their business.
Yeah.
So, and I also told myself I got to understand that people in the U.S. do see this country differently than me.
Yep.
And I know they're playing a sport. I know they're getting paid millions, but that doesn't mean that they have to love everything about the United States. I mean, I'm a big patriotic fan. I think everyone fucking knows that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, there's shit that our government does that I'm just like, dude, this fucking...
Yeah.
It's just like, God damn it. You want to fucking be on the side all the time, but it's just like, yeah, this country's done some fucked up shit.
Fuck yeah.
But I also want to say is, I know the history's bad, but where else do you want to fucking go? Well, like,
yeah.
That's a shitty thing. It's not saying that nobody can have flaws, like, not saying if you have one problem with something, you have to leave, but it's just like, still pretty damn good, I think. Well,
yeah.
But if a guy who his mother left him left him up for adoption and was raised by two white parents. And then once he started kneeling for the anthem, started going to his afro, needs to bring awareness. Wouldn't mind maybe someone that's had a little tougher of an upbringing maybe bring a little bit more awareness.
That's kind of the point that, that's one of the things that kind of pissed me off with the whole Kaepernick thing from the start, is that when I kind of found out about his upbringing and how he, like, refuses to, like, talk to his real mom, like, his real mom has reached out to him, like, trying to be like, you know, I had to do what was best for you. Like, she did what she needed to do to make his life successful, you know, and he just shits on her. So then it's like, now wait a second. You know, like, I kind of feel like he's kind of being a hypocrite in a little bit, you know, or it's like, why don't you, you don't even, like, your mom just wants to basically, like, talk to you.
Yeah.
You know, say, like, I'm sorry.
Actually, yeah. I don't know how this just popped in my head, but the way I'm going to actually give Kaepernick a little bit of fucking credit is he took advantage of possibly having a better upbringing, like a more stable upbringing.
Yep.
He took advantage of that, and he went to college, played college football, and got to the NFL. He didn't, of course, I have to watch what I say and use the correct terms. He didn't try to, like, get some street cred, I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
If that's the correct terms, I don't know. But he used that opportunity, and he made the best of himself.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, that's kind of what America is.
Yes.
Right?
That is.
Yeah. Isn't it? I mean, I feel like you got to have an opportunity to, you know, kind of form your own path.
Yeah. Right? And that's why, you know what, I'm going to fucking get into it. You can turn it off for all I care. It's just like, I think it's a class thing more than a race thing. I think LeBron James started off in a low class.
Yep.
He had a great talent, and he fucking deserves everything that he got because he's worked his ass off for it.
Yep.
His kids are not, are not in the same upbringing.
Yeah.
And I don't blame his kids for what they have.
Yep.
Because it seems like his oldest son, Bronny, works his ass off at basketball. So I don't want to be like, he's only getting this because of LeBron. It's just like, I don't know if the kid can play fucking ball. I don't care what way he gets there.
Yeah.
Like, if his dad's great, then fucking let the kid play. But it's, and I'm not taking away anything from LeBron or his family, but it's just like, his kids are not, are going to be brought up in the same.
Let's put it this way. His kids have a much more luxurious lifestyle than we ever had growing up.
Oh, fuck yeah. Fuck yeah.
I don't think Bronny James is going to have any cow shit underneath his nails anytime here.
Sham, breaking news, we're going to break up the racial talk. Brewers just drafted an outfielder, Mitchell. So maybe if they figure out that league in a year or two, we'll be able to see him in the minors.
Yeah.
He is number 20th overall from UCLA. Best set of tools in the class.
Actually, I was reading something about
outfielder.
You know what's funny? I guess I don't know how many college guys are going to go in this draft. You know they're only doing 5 rounds.
Really?
From, like, I think they plan on cutting it down to, I think, like 40, which I think baseball always did 50, but I think they're only going to do 5 now this year.
What the fuck has the NFL done that has just entranced us with their fucking draft? I don't even know, I mean, I know the MLB shit down their legs or whatever, but I didn't even know the draft is going on right now. Can you imagine the
NFL
draft going on?
I,
and we're just like,
I guess I didn't even. I guess I didn't know it either until Schiff said something to Pratt today.
Or Schiff knew what was going on.
And, well, he texted and Schiff or Pratt's like, yep, watching it right now. And I was like,
hopefully the fucking Brewers draft Jeff Samardzija. What a useless fucking guy that was. In baseball and in football.
Right?
Fuck that guy.
Such a piece of shit.
Oh, yeah. Schiff probably thought Jeff Samardzija was a fucking man, too.
Everybody's compared him to Jordy Nelson. Like, jeez.
Couldn't even hold his jock strap.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, fucking baseball draft going on. I honestly, that's such a good point because, actually, you know what I think it is? Like, even the NBA draft, I watch the NBA draft. You sometimes have or know what's going on. But, like,
yeah.
Do you think it's because, like, MLB draft, these guys get drafted, and legitimately, we don't know anything about their history or when they got drafted or their background until they make it to the majors, and then we have to look it up.
Yeah.
And then we find out, oh, so he was traded for fucking Johnny Cueto or, you know, something like that, or, you know, like the Brewers trading away four players for Christian Yelich. Like, all four of those guys that got traded, it was like, besides Lewis Brinson, who has sucked ass in the majors, but it's like, baseball trades and all that shit, it's always so much potential.
Yeah.
So, like, there's always, it's so much, like, always down the road. Like, that's why I know for me personally, I never give really two shits about the MLB draft, because I'm like, who the fuck cares? Like, the earliest we're going to see these guys is, like, 2 years.
I mean, other than the Green Bay Packers, like, pretty much every first-round pick's going to make an impact.
Yeah. And then, like, I mean, you think of basketball. It's like,
maybe not Tua, I guess.
I was reading some. I guess they think he's going to beat Fitzpatrick out. But, wow, it's tough.
Is he going to be healthy enough?
That's what I don't know. And they still haven't gotten rid of, they never got rid of Josh Rosen, right?
It's off the XFL pick.
Well, that was the breaking news on Two Beers, One Garage, but I don't think it was official.
Yeah, that might have been one of my last tweets I sent. No, I'm just like, I gotta get out of here.
Yeah.
I gotta get off this.
I gotta get the fuck out.
Kobe!
Just like you and, Damn. But, anyways, get to some more NFL talk. Big news out of Minneapolis, other than the other stuff that's been going on, is Dalvin Cook is looking for a new contract and planning on holding out. So, the Vikings could potentially have two players wanting to hold out right at the start of training camp.
They seem pretty damn important to their both sides of the ball.
You know what? I mean, I knew Anthony Harris had a damn good year last year, but I didn't realize, like, how damn good he was last year. He picked off, like, I forgot, I should have taken a fucking screenshot of it. I saw something like the quarterbacks he picked off last year, Aaron Rodgers in the Monday night game. He had the pick six against the Seahawks and Russell Wilson. These always kind of like a batted ball and went flying up.
Yeah.
I should have taken a screenshot of it. But he literally, like, picked off, I think Matt Ryan. I mean, he picked off some damn good quarterbacks last year.
You pick off Russell Wilson, you might be the greatest safety on this planet.
Or you drank a lot of holy water the night before.
Ooh.
Because, you know, that's what Russell Wilson he'd say something like that. Gotta give it to him.
Do you think you would ever, like, hang out with Russell Wilson?
No.
Me neither.
I think
he's like too big of a fucking cornball.
Like, he's the kind of guy, if he came to the garage and heard, like, some of the words say, he'd be like, all right, guys, come on now, like,
we're better than that.
Hey, we're better than that. Let's clean up the language. Like, the way you started the show tonight, with the words you used right off the bat,
yeah.
Russell Wilson would have walked right out. No, but I guess, how do you feel about, like, do you ever think by holding out anything ever gets accomplished? If you're the player and the agent? And also, do you ever think it's actually the player that wants to hold out? Or is it the agent telling the player to hold out?
I think at first it's the agent putting that little chirp in the player's ear. And then it's the player. It's kind of like if you're trying to convince someone to join a cult.
Yeah.
You kind of just put a little fucking something in their ear and you kind of keep talking about it. And all of a sudden they're just like, holy shit, the Vikings are fucking me over. Holy fuck, they're using me a shit ton and they're paying me nothing.
Yep.
Which is correct, but it's also a contract.
That's why, and I know
I wish more people in life had to sign contracts. and just didn't like work.
Yeah.
Just work and just get paid the same shit every fucking 2 weeks.
Which is
signed a contract where they, I don't know, maybe if we had more negotiating in our own lives, we'd understand it.
Yeah, and then, like, if we sucked ass at our job, we'd get paid less. I don't know, like, I mean, I guess in a sense we kind of do a little bit. But, like, other people, though, they go, it's just like, because I feel like, too, like, I guess then they say, like, well, I should get a raise after this amount of time or this, you know, that. But it's like, usually, though, like, when people start getting the raises, then they kind of start becoming the fucking jerk-offs at work. You know, like,
the only reason I don't, like, I think when you sign a contract, you live up to the contract, because I don't think the Jacksonville Jaguars were asking Nick Foles for some money back, were they?
No. They actually ate some money.
So it's just like, when you suck, you're not too worried about breaking a contract. You're probably like, no, I signed that contract, I deserve all that money. But
yeah.
Then when you're good...
Yeah. Yeah, it's such a... And also, we were fucking digging up some of the cap situations here for the Vikings. I don't know how the hell this is possible, but they haven't signed any of their draft picks yet. They have $11 million available in cap space right now. And the thing that I read said that it only costs $4.1 million to sign all 15, which I find that hard to believe. But I did text my sister before I came over. I said, am I hearing this? Is this true? The Vikings haven't signed a single draft pick? And she said, no, they haven't. And I said, well, they're not going to have any cap space after they do sign these guys. And she said, pretty much. So,
fuck. I was thinking with 15 draft picks, that 11 mil might get ate up.
Well, that's what I thought, too. I guess, though, God, they had to have had another. They did, I think, end up having two first-rounders.
That's what I thought. I thought they took that Jedrick something from Bama.
No, because he went earlier. The tackle?
Yeah.
He went... No, God damn it. Who the hell did they take with their 31st pick?
Did they take that guy? Oh,
corner.
Oh,
from TCU. There we go.
Yeah,
so
okay.
Jefferson.
Jalen Johnson? No.
No, he's Utah. Gladney?
Oh, yep.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
So they took... So
Glad.
So how... I don't understand... I don't understand how... That would only...
Isn't that like 4 mil a guy?
That's what I thought. First round guys, they thought were always 4... Like, I guess... I don't know how the salary... How they figured that...
Who'd you get that from?
It was like an article on ESPN. Because I'm like... How?
John Clayton? I mean, that guy...
Yeah, he fucked me over a few weeks ago.
He fucked you bad. What'd he say? Oh, yeah, the old AFC South.
He said first week... Well, he said... No, he said... All NFL teams will be playing AFC versus NFC off the bat first 4 weeks.
So just in case you got to cancel?
Just in case, yeah. Actually, kind of a funny thing I forgot to bring up multiple weeks ago about the NFL schedule. So the Jets and the Dolphins play each other week 11, have a bye week, and then play each other week 13.
Nice.
Never happened before in NFL history. Kind of fun, fun fact.
I guess when you're sharing a stadium, shit like that might have to happen.
Yeah. Yeah, because I remember I was like, I guess I didn't notice it until I saw it on Twitter. But anyways, kind of talking about Dalvin Cook again. So he, from what I'm understanding and what I've read and what he said, he doesn't necessarily want to get paid like Christian McCaffrey money. Like he doesn't want to like reset the running back market. But he does want to get paid like right around or... somewhere in between Christian McCaffrey and Le'Veon Bell, which when he said when Le'Veon Bell's the third highest paid running back, I'm like, wow.
So you want to be paid between the first and the third?
Which there's not too much of a gap. It's like six.
Wow.
So he wants to get paid.
Calvin?
He wants to get paid between 14 to 60 million. So, I mean, like...
Did he say like a year or is
it? There is no years. It just said top three money. Top three running back money. I'm going to do a COVID. COVID! Oh.
When if you're Dalvin Cook, I do not blame him for doing that. With his health history,
yeah,
and how much the Vikings have used him, that second contract is huge for him. I actually don't blame him because he knows it's probably going to be used as a workhorse this year four.
Oh yeah,
and that's what 250 carries maybe.
Oh, at least,
and then 50 catches, 50 routes. I don't even know, whatever. But it's just like.
Yeah, I was going to say.
That is a season, I don't know what he's getting paid. That's a season that takes a toll on your body that you're not going to be able to get back.
No.
So,
because I was going to say, I would expect him, between catches and rushes, 350 to 400. Like, you know, between catches and touches at least.
I actually don't mind. You know, I just thought, I don't mind him sitting out or holding out.
Oh, yeah.
It's part of business.
Yeah. It's so funny, I think we talked about it before, like, holdouts, I guess for me, I used to, well, not really ever give two fucks if another guy did another team, but, like, with the Packers, I would. But, like, I mean, I can only think of, what, Javon Walker? Have we had any other holdouts?
Corey Williams. I don't think he held out, though. I just think they couldn't get a contract negotiated
they traded
with
him.
And then they Franchise, him to the Browns.
God, he was good.
Mm-hmm.
Then he went to Cleveland. Never heard of him again.
Yeah.
And he was like a 6th-round pick too.
Yeah.
D tackle out of some little punk ass school somewhere, right?
Yeah.
God, I liked him.
Shit, I'm trying to think if there are any other
notable Packers.
I just don't know if the Packers let positions like that go. That long to that a holdout,
yeah.
Like, because I think they know that the running back.
That's why I'm really curious with this Aaron Jones thing.
It sounds bad. I think Dalvin Cook's better than Aaron Jones.
Yeah.
But I think Aaron Jones has a better future because he just hasn't taken the wear and tear.
And Aaron Jones didn't really he played at UTEP.
I think Aaron Jones is a little more suitable for the NFL that's possibly starting to come out where I think Dalvin Cook's pretty good in the passing game, like screen game, but I think Aaron Jones can run legitimate routes.
But also you got to look at the offensive creativity of the Packers compared to the Vikings.
That's a good, Pratt. No, Mike Zimmer is a way better offensive coach than fucking
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
LaFleur.
Isn't Mike Zimmer the offensive coordinator for the Vikings?
I think so.
Yeah, but no.
The old pirate eye.
Fucking Mike Zimmer's, like, their offense reminds me of, like, Pete McAdams' offense. I formation, one tight, split, maybe send a receiver, do some twins action.
You'll get a few fucking big hits on the passing game because they'll bite on your run game, but
yeah.
If they're not biting, you're fucked.
Just like I always bring that fucking that interception that Kevin King had again in that Monday night game last year, but it's just like that play alone, that was a one fucking man route, basically. It was all or nothing. Like Diggs was the only guy that went out for.
That was a Madden play right there.
Yes,
that was a Madden play where you had this play, you're like. They're going to bite up.
No matter what, I am fucking chucking this.
You don't even look what the defense is playing. You're like, I'm fucking throwing this post or whatever Diggs ran. What was
it? It was just like a fucking, the old Jordy Nelson route.
Okay, just a step outside.
It was like the dumbest fucking play ever. Because like Cousins literally had nowhere else to throw it.
Yeah. You know what was weird with Jordy? Like, His fucking goddamn skin color, I think, got him open some of the time.
Oh, yeah. Remember
Nobody respected his fucking speed.
Were we listening to that at work one day when he was on the Dan Patrick Show? Like, I mean, this is like his prime years. And he said, I think Dan Patrick asked him, like, Jordy, do you, I think he asked that, like, exact question. And he was like, yeah, I think sometimes they just think, like, why double him because he's white.
So AJ Hawk had fucking Jordy on with him and Pat McAfee.
Like recently?
Almost a month ago, I think.
Oh, I should watch this.
Yeah, you should. Jordy said that I think the old DB's coach, Joe Witt,
yeah,
used to fucking warn DBs in training camp and practice, like, do not, like, this guy can fucking burn. And
he can, yeah. Like, I think
he's like a good, like, just legs are so long, and he just, I don't know, I think he's make up so much extra ground, and there's no wasted movement.
You know what else he was really good at? Like, I always just think about, he must have had a damn good vertical.
Yeah.
Because, like, I always think about some of the catches he's made, I always think of that first touchdown in the Super Bowl, where, like, he jumps up for, you know, like, because...
In it, earlier in the game,
should have had a drive before, yeah. But, like, then Rodgers kind of threw a little more touch on it, I wish I would have known more, I don't really feel like looking it up, but, I mean, I would be very curious what Jordy ran on in a 40 in the combine.
You think he broke 4.5?
I would think so. But, like, or if he won a, I would say maybe a 4.49.
Because Jordy also wasn't a guy that would take a slant to the house.
No. Like, well, except for that one on Revis, but.
Okay, yeah. Oh, yeah, against the Jets. Yeah. I think I was watching that game at Marcus's house. They were getting their ass kicked by the Jets that game, weren't they?
Oh, I was thinking when Revis played for the Patriots.
Oh, in the Monday night game? No.
No, it was like a 3.25 at home.
Pav was there. I was there, yep. And the Patriots missed a field goal late.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Okay. I was watching that game by myself, put up a Christmas tree by myself. Pav was just at the game getting drunk with her friends.
What do you got for Jordy? What do you ran at the combine?
I'm going to go off 4.48.
Close. 4.51.
Oh.
It says Nelson ran only a 4.51 40 at the NFL Scouting Combine, but once he unwinds his long strides, he is a burner.
Yeah.
So I think that's the thing. I feel like once you got him 10 to 15 yards downfield, anything over that, it's like, look out.
Because... What's that saying? Those DBs have that saying.
Oh, yeah.
If you're even, you're leaving.
Yeah. Yes.
And it's just like, back when I was on Twitter, this guy Dusty or whatever, he always put great Packer highlights or replays to show how the play was made. That one against the Bears, where it's pretty much, I thought the game was going to overtime.
Yeah.
Rodgers.
It was like a 3rd and 10.
Yeah.
Cold as fuck.
God damn it. It was just like, the connection those two had is, I think, honestly hindered Rodgers possibly a little bit. He possibly thought, like, most receivers were just that fast and, like, smooth and...
Kind of like Randall Cobb, too, before he started getting hurt. Like, I felt like Rodgers and Cobb had a good connection like that, too.
Did we ever bring up, I don't know if we did. I think we wanted to talk about how fucking disgusting that 2011.
Yeah, we never did actually talk about
it. Receiver group
was. Yeah, we never did talk about
it. And I think it sometimes affects Packer fans' fucking minds because they think every receiving corps should be that.
Yeah, and it's just not even realistic.
The
four, so it was what?
Z-Man has a fucking canvas picture of him.
And I look, it's like right above the TV in the man cave.
Before you start, Kobe.
Yep. But, so, Greg Jennings would have been the number one. Jordy was the number two. I would say Driver was kind of more on that four, possibly closer to five.
I'm putting Driver at five.
Five,
James Jones at four. Or
No, I'm thinking Jones at three, Cobb at four, then Driver.
And then Jermichael.
Then Jermichael. And that, like, just looking at that picture, I go sometimes, I'm like, that is why Mike, and I think that's what also hurt Mike McCarthy. Because literally, like, I think I've heard James Jones say it, it didn't matter what the fuck we called.
Yeah.
You know, he said it didn't matter what we called, it didn't matter what defense the other team was in. And, like, that's such a good point because it's like, and if Aaron Rodgers knew the coverage, he, like, these guys were so good. And, you know, and
it didn't fucking matter. Yeah.
You know what's, and you know what's even more crazy, though, when you actually kind of do think about it? I mean, obviously, Driver and Finley never played anywhere else. But, like, not a fucking one of them really amounted to shit outside of Green Bay.
The only one I thought could possibly do was Jennings because I think he was let go out of Green Bay. Not for talent-wise, just because I think Rodgers is just like, this guy's a fucking...
Well, Jennings' sister, that was bullshit.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. I think Jennings was let go not strictly for, like, play reasons.
Yeah. And that was, like, when she was saying all this shit about it, about Aaron Rodgers, I remember it was like, yeah, okay, it's time to get rid of this fucking guy.
Like, I could not fucking imagine. My sister fucking running her mouth and, like, affecting my career.
But the
my
only,
career's not even that important, but...
The only thing I'm thinking is, when that does happen, if you have a sister who's running their mouth, you're doing a lot of shit talking.
Greg was giving her all that ammunition.
I'm thinking. I mean, I'm assuming. I could be wrong, but...
Greg probably want, actually knowing him, he probably told his sister to fuck
that's what me. I'm... Honestly, that's what I'm kind of thinking. Because, you... I mean... Yes.
I mean, come on.
I just fucking hate, and like, we hate Aaron Rodgers. I think he's a D-bag. I wouldn't say I hate him. I just think he's a douche. But the fact that Fox Sports, like, employs that guy just to fucking go on Colin Cowherd and Skip Bayless and Shannon, just to fucking talk shit about Aaron Rodgers, it's like, really? Like, that's all, the only reason you got this guy on the fucking...
You know why I don't get too worked up with all these fucking headlines and these fucking, whatever Skip says, whatever Stephen A. Smith says, it's
yeah.
Like, whatever, name the fucking network, but it's just like, there's some guy sitting in an office that doesn't fucking care and just like, okay, how can we get clicks? How can we get views?
Yeah.
And just like, they're working on your fucking emotion.
Yep.
And it's like, I don't fucking care anymore what Jennings thinks about Rodgers. It's fucking done.
Yeah, and that's how I always feel.
The quarterback Jennings was, or the quarterback Rodgers was with Jennings, he's probably different now anyways.
Mm-hmm.
He might have become a better leader. I think
like,
he has with LaFleur, actually.
And he's definitely not as good as he was. Like, you know, like... And it's just so, it's just, yeah, it's just such a fucking, like.
It's like talking to someone's ex-wife or husband about their fucking, about their fucking goddamn, like,
yeah.
their ex. It's just
yeah.
like, well, they were a fucking shithead, they fucking beat me or whatever. It's just like, well, they might have changed, I don't know, but I really don't care what you have to say to them about it anymore. It's like,
that's,
fucking, what was it, 8 years ago?
That's so true, yeah. That was 2012?
Yeah.
Last time I...
Kobe!
Oh, my... Jesus. That was like an alley-oop.
And even with Jennings, it's just like, okay, if Rodgers is shitty, we don't really care what you have
no.
to say anymore. It's been too long, dude.
Yeah, I know, like, at first, I would kind of use some of that ammo. I still think that fucking article... Who wrote that
Tyler
again?
Tyler Dunn? Or Rob
yeah.
DeMoss? No.
I think it was Tyler Dunn. That seemed like the biggest crock of shit that I've ever read in my life. Like,
yeah.
From, as far as, I'm not saying that some of it wasn't true, but a lot of it just seemed like such fucking bullshit. Like, I have a hard time believing, like, McCarthy getting massages, like, was it before games? Wasn't it, or something like that?
I think so, yeah. Like, he wasn't, like, with the team, or...
And I have a hard... I have a real hard time believing that. But I guess...
I mean, maybe how tense he was for high school basketball games, maybe he needed a little massage in the old fucking, what is it, tug and run?
Tug and run? The old Robert Kraft?
Oh, yeah. Fuck.
Actually, Did you hear, I want to say I saw this on Facebook. Oh boy. That thing, getting loose.
Not fucking playing this game again.
We got a microphone here getting a little a little squirrely.
That's what, hey, when you buy fucking cheap shit, that's what happens.
Right? But I actually saw, I think it's like you can get like arrested or a fine now if you belittle a referee at like a high school sporting event.
That's good.
Which I don't think is a bad thing.
No. If you belittle a ref, you should get a fine. If you belittle the police and destroy property, you should get fucking nothing.
Yeah. And, did you see that?
No.
What Petey just texted us?
Oh, boy.
Yeah. But, that is actually, I guess just myself, since I was, like, I used to ref, like, 8th, 9th grade games with Pilsner before I moved to La Crosse, and we'd do, like, weekend tournaments and shit. I always just got such a fucking kick out of that shit. When refs would just, when fans would just sit there and fucking hound you. I always just thought it was kind of hilarious.
I think the more you put yourself out there during your lifetime doing different shit helps you be a better fucking human.
Yes.
Because I think sometimes it's, when Jalen is in whatever sport he plays, there might be a time where you're just like, I want to fucking tear that ref apart because he or she sucks.
Yep.
But then
you're gonna it's
going to click back in your head and you're going to be like, okay, I'm going to be a psycho right now. Chill out.
Especially when these kids are, like, in fifth grade. I mean, who the fuck cares? Half these kids can't even fucking shoot a basketball normal.
I still can't.
Yeah. I haven't shot a basketball in so long, I don't even know. I think I probably have a pretty ugly looking shot, too.
Well, Pav always reminds me that, I mean, I don't blame her. My shot is, I shoot with two hands. I never got, like, proper, whatever.
Lessons?
Lessons on shooting. I just kind of, I was a big, of course, I was a fucking little chubster, so I'd just wrestle my way through and shoot up a shot, usually.
You kind of seemed like you would have been the Coney Allen of point hoops.
Yeah, that's, I don't want to brag about point hoops, but I was fucking about to, as tall as I am now, but I used to have to guard like Andy Crooks that played for fucking
Wisconsin.
He played for Wausau East.
Football.
Yeah, he was a...
That was a stud.
He was a linebacker and then moved to tight end in Wisconsin because I don't think he was actually aggressive enough to play linebacker in the Big Ten, but I had to fucking guard him. He was fucking at least 5 or 6 inches taller than me.
Yeah.
And I used to kind of hold my own because I was like kind of like Tony Allen where I guess I didn't care about scoring points. I knew my role.
Yep.
I fucking loved it.
Do your job. Yeah. Actually, that is, you know what? I love guys like that though that are on basketball teams, on football teams. That like, maybe they don't get like the flashy plays or this and that, but it's like just knowing, like just taking your role and just thriving in it.
And actually, like thinking of it, if you talk to most of the guys on my 8th grade, 9th grade hoops team, I think they would say I was a pretty good asset because they appreciated the things I did. Because some of them didn't want to do, like, not that they didn't want to do it, but they're just like, I don't want to fucking muscle up Andy Crooks. I don't want to muscle up. I made Greg Steams McCry. Well, we did as a team.
Yeah.
In 8th grade. And then we had to play Madison LaFall that had the Flowers Brothers. That didn't go as planned. But like you said, I think once you have a team where, like, the fucking Jordan documentary, when you got a guy like Dennis Rodman, the Pistons with Ben Wallace, when you got guys like that don't want points, good luck dealing with them fucking for a board.
Yeah.
That's their job. That's That's fucking James Harden trying to score a bucket on you. Is Dennis Rodman trying to get a rebound?
I don't even remember if we brought this up, but it was in the last episode of the Michael Jordan thing. It made me think of this. So, Jordan, they threw the ball into Malone, the Jazz did. Threw the ball into Malone. And Malone was going to take Rodman one-on-one. But, like, this is how smart, like, Rodman was, too, by the way. This guy's basketball IQ is, much as we think of this guy as a dumb fuck, this guy's basketball IQ, he told Michael Jordan at the timeout before, he said, hey, fucking come on over, just take the ball right from Carl. He ain't gonna know it. So oh. When Jordan fucking snags that ball from Malone,
so Malone was so, like,
because Malone, so Malone, let's just think we're, well, obviously this is terrible to describe this on air here, but, like, so this, you're the baseline, Malone, or, like, you're Malone, I'm Rodman, baseline's here in the garage. Rodman told Jordan, just come on over, just, he said, he's looking to the left. You come right along the baseline, just grab the ball. You know, so everyone, like, makes it seem like fucking Michael Jordan, just, oh, my God. He,
what a heads-up play.
And Rodman, like, but that's the thing, like, and Dennis, I think Michael Jordan even said, Dennis Rodman's, like, hands down, like, one of the all-time smartest basketball players he's played with.
That's the thing I actually noticed about Rodman just in the small amount of interviews I watch is nothing really gets by him and, like,
no.
He honestly kind of understands everyone he kind of encounters. Like, he understands Kim Jong-un. Like,
yeah,
who the fuck does that?
Yeah. Exactly, like, for an American, too, like, when he went over there, it's like, that was, like, I don't think anybody, well, I don't know if anybody knew or cared if Rodman would come back from that.
Just trying to wonder, like, what in his brain is just, maybe he's actually, I just kind of thought it, maybe he's, like, semi-autistic. Where he just remembers shit, and maybe that's why, he, like, getting along with people is tough with him sometimes.
Yeah.
Because, like, personal interactions is tough, but he just, like, understood.
Yeah. But then, so then the best part was after Jordan steals the ball, well, Scottie Pippen's back was so fucked. Scottie, like, we could run, like, up and down the court, but that's about it. And I guess the director asked Dennis Rodman, what was going through your mind when, after Jordan stole the ball and you're bringing it up the court? Because Rodman, like, didn't even fucking go back. He just stood back. He goes, he ain't fucking passing that ball.
Was that before the Byron Russell then?
That was leading up. That was the play.
Oh, okay.
So, like, Jordan steals it.
I guess
Jordan,
I didn't know that.
Jordan brings the ball, because there was like 20-some-odd seconds.
He didn't fucking ball.
Yeah. And they're like, you just stood back and said, well, I knew he wasn't going to fucking pass the ball. He's like, he's like, ain't no goddamn way. He's passing that fucking ball. He's like, you knew he was fucking shooting it. And he's like, I mean, I didn't give a fuck. I don't care. Whatever. Fucking shoot it.
Do you think he honestly cared that they won?
Well,
I don't...
By his reaction after they would win these things, he was so happy, Rodman was. But, yeah, it's so tough to say. Like, Rodman just seems like the kind of guy that would just be happy in that situation. But, like, I'm sure if you asked Rodman, like, hey, man, like, what do you got your 5 NBA championship rings? Well, I got 5 of them? You know, like, he seems like, I don't know, they're over
there. That's what I do not know Dennis Rodman. I'm just thinking, like, he seems like the type of guy that would be happy, but a day or two later, he would just be like, okay, like, now what?
Yeah.
Doesn't seem like he fucking rides that championship wave
like
some
players
could.
Like I said, I don't know if I told you, but if you ever get a chance to watch the 30 for 30, I'm just Dennis Rodman. That's actually a really good point. You know, he almost fucking killed himself.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, his highs are highs, but his lows are possibly probably lower.
And he used to then, yeah, and that's exactly it. Like, when he was going to shoot himself with a fucking rifle or shotgun or something when he played for Detroit right outside the arena.
Jeez.
He had his shoes off. He was going to pull the trigger with his toe.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, I guess so with a shotgun, yeah. You need that length.
Yeah. Rifle too, yeah, I mean, they're both pretty. But yeah, so like he had it like in his driver's seat, you know, in between his legs, right up to the back, you know, to the chin.
Off of his neck.
Yeah, he was going to fucking pop her with the fucking foot, the toe. And then they, I don't know what, he passed out. He wasn't even like, I don't even, he, this one he still didn't even like drink.
What did he pass out from?
Just being so like, I don't know, just exhausted.
Oh,
I don't know, something. Maybe he was just like such a, I think maybe he was just couldn't like almost believe he was doing it. And then, yeah, he woke up, like, I think the cops were there and like, hey, hey, you know, like, holy shit. Like, Dennis, like, what the hell is going on here?
I think, of course, I got to preface everything nowadays, just make sure people don't take words out of my mouth. But I think some people like Rodman who turned to alcohol to shut off kind of how his brain is always firing.
Yeah.
His brain's always like, always telling him things that maybe aren't true or maybe, and so he uses alcohol to kind of suppress that.
Yeah, I think he was. I think he did.
Kobe. Yeah, those tall kings are tough.
Yeah, it's tough to crush. But I think, and that's the thing, I wonder if, he just, you know, the thing, it's just crazy, like, when you watch that 30 for 30 on Rodman, though. Here's this kid in Oklahoma who is just so fucking quiet, didn't talk to anybody, fucking mind his own business, fucking hustle, actually, like, didn't really become a great basketball player till he got to be, like, 21 at that NAIA school because he had, like, a 5-inch growth spurt in college.
Oh.
Like, but it's just so crazy, like, how much he changed, how much he has changed throughout his life.
Yeah.
And then, like, when he gets to Chicago, all of a sudden, yeah, he's clubbing it up, and actually, he used to always hang out at a lot of gay bars because he said, like, he felt like he was an outsider. He felt like he needed someone to, like, he needed to, like, connect with a certain type of group or people. Like, he knew he wasn't, like, I guess a normal person, if you will. So, like, he would go to these gay bars and just, like, talk, you know, just drink it up with them and go crazy. Because he said, like, they get me. They understand me. So, pretty
much. Yeah, I sometimes look at people that come into Politos who possibly have, when I think of Rodman, I think of, like, the fluorescent hair. I think of all the, and I don't think that's who he really was, but I think, like you were saying, he was quiet, and I felt like that's maybe a way to, quote-unquote, express himself or try to send off a message without talking. I don't know.
Yeah.
And sometimes working at Politos, I see people who really come in there who seem very timid and quiet, but their hair is, like, fluorescent. They're dressed a certain way. It's just, like, I kind of, like, compare those guys to Rodman where these kids, I'm going to call them kids, just felt like they're just outsiders, and they don't know what to do to fit in, so they're like, well, let's go the other way and totally not fit in then.
Yes. That's actually a really good point. Kobe! God damn it. Tried to get a little heat on her, but...
Did you hit the ceiling?
I think I did. Kind of slipped out of my hand on the way up. Oh, actually, I forgot. I put it on Twitter yesterday on our Twitter page. It was Juno's birthday yesterday.
Oh!
Yeah.
What's that? Three?
Three. 3 years old.
Oh.
I got him
one. Get him a beer?
I should have. Actually,
forgot dog ears.
I kind of forgot that. That was like a thing, you know. Set, yeah, dog ears. It's 21. We should have had a keg. Really dropped the ball. Well, did it rain yesterday? Yeah,
it
was fucking. Dude, I remember that walk from work to the ramp yesterday sucked. When I got done with work at 5.
Oh, I was in the middle of it.
Just pissed on. I was just like,
I was in the house.
You know what?
I picked up Evelyn at 3, and it was raining all right, but yeah, 5 was right in the middle of it.
And all I could honestly think about was, you know how like all that fucking water gets all backed up, and you get all those puddles, huge puddles, and I had flashbacks to when I was driving the old Ranger back in the day when we'd go down campus at UWSP, and we'd fucking just hammer at lunch. We would just hammer them fucking puddles and just soak college kids. All I had, you know, and I thought about it. I said, if someone does do it, I can't get mad. Because I said, the amount of fucking people I hammered in the Ford Ranger back in the day.
I want to thought I heard like a story of some college kid like got a license plate and then drove to Spash parking lot and was waiting for...
I think my mom told me that.
We're waiting for the fucking kid when they came out of class. And I don't think anything happened because I think security made him leave.
Right. I think so too. But the amount of times we fucking did that, I remember one time too, we were just thinking back how stupid we were. Fucking, it was me, Ben Nantel, and fucking Colback. We were either sophomores or juniors, one of the two. And fucking, but Nantel had an air horn. So he's laying in the bed of my truck. And like, we would just like, pull up so Nantel knew like when we stopped to hammer the air horn. So like we'd pull up like to all these college kids and Nantel would just fucking then just hammer the air horn and we'd take off and like it was so fucking loud. It was
like, how do high school kids have to do shit like that?
I don't know.
No, they have to. It's
I
think they have to do it because it's funny.
And then like the other stupid thing I remember doing, we'd fucking go to goddamn Hardee's. And for whatever reason, we thought it'd be a good idea to fill up our fucking soda cups and then launch them like fucking grenades into big crowds. Like, I don't know why. Like, just looking back, like, there's so many little things where I'm like, I can't get mad if this is gonna that happens to me. Because I'm like, the stupid shit that we did... Like, why, it's just like, why did we do that?
I never, I guess we smashed mailboxes when we were a little bit younger. But other than that, we didn't really fuck with college kids a lot. We just kind
of... I don't know why, we fucked with them all the time. Kind of like, and we were to be like 16, 17, 18. Just fucking with them.
We were in such a hurry in fucking lunch, always. What I remember in lunch, we had a strict fucking schedule where we had to get shit done.
We never cared if we were late for class. Yeah. Like, dude, we had Mr. Rindell. I don't know if you had him. He was like a history teacher.
Maybe shit got a little more lenient.
Dude, we would show up like 5 minutes late. He kept track of all the tallies. You know, like if you had for tardies, you know how if you had three, you're supposed to have a detention. The best part was he brought it up at the end of the school year. He's like, he kept track of every fucking tardy, and he used it as a joke at who the leaders were for the tardies. And it was like me, Ryan Piercy, Tyler Krieger, and Danny Schultz. And he was like, honestly, he's like, and Ryan Piercy is the leader at 32, Tyler Krieger second at 29. And then he's like, Jeff and Danny are at 28. And Tyler's like, god damn it. He's like, Piercy, show up to class on time the last 5 days of school so I can beat you.
It's weird. I was never a tardy guy. I was always actually on time. I could have been a shithead in high school, but I don't think I was like a bad student. I guess maybe I was like a little bit cocky and kind of pushing envelope a few times, but I was actually a pretty good student, which is weird.
Yeah, I don't think I ever, I don't know if I ever, really disrupted the class. I mean, a ton. I mean, I would laugh at shit when it'd be hilarious.
Yeah.
I mean, besides 28 tardies is a little ridiculous on my part.
Yeah, I don't know why. I look back, Jimmy fucking rips on me to this day because I fucking graduated with almost half a year's worth extra of credits. I don't know why I did it. But I honestly, I like being at school, though?
But you only need 23 and a half.
Yeah, right? And I graduated with 30 and a half.
So you didn't take a study hall ever?
No. And I never, like, showed up, like, I never, like, missed or took off, like, a first hour class or left early.
Yeah.
I never, always, like, packed my schedule because I had nothing better to do.
I never had an 8th hour class at Spash. That's because my mom was making the schedule for me.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
There's a privilege.
Yep. White privilege right there.
Oh, yeah. Family privilege.
Yep. So I would, I took advantage of that. And also, well, fuck, my second semester then, a senior year, fucking only worked half, or worked, only went to, I only had class for 4 hours, first 4 hours, then it was right to Toledo's to get to work.
That just shows me that fucking high school is, like, it is such crap of shit sometimes. It's, I understand you learn some things, but I don't know. I feel like you either know it or you don't by then. Like,
yeah.
Your second semester of fucking high school.
I just always think back to, like, just kind of random shit where I'm just like, you know, the only class I really feel like I honestly maybe learned something in high school was
sex ed.
Yeah. Well, I guess you learned parts of
didn't
the human body.
Condom.
Yeah. You didn't either.
Oh, yeah.
Can't be
fucking robbed out the shit out of that.
But
not condoms. Actually, I don't mind condoms.
Yeah.
Let me truthfully be honest. I have a problem with coming too early, and they actually...
In the condoms, or the...
No, I'm just raw-dogging.
You're a pre-ejaculator?
Fuck it. Not a pre. I mean, if there's a two-minute window after a pre, you could call me one of those.
Yeah.
I don't know what that would be called, but Evelyn was conceived very quickly, I'll tell you that.
Powerful.
But the second one, it was a little longer, but yeah, I don't know. Once I get going, it's just like, fuck. So I actually don't mind condoms.
Yeah.
I can actually last a little longer, which
that is, yeah.
It's actually probably shorter than most normal guys, but
yeah.
I just get fucking just, I forgot what podcast I was listening to. They were asking, like, they were talking about blowjobs. Are you, when you're getting a blowjob, do you either, like, do you either try to, like, come kind of as fast as you can and get your shit, or are you the type that is holding back, like, okay, I can come, but, because with sex, I mean, most people know I'm selfish, so I'm just like, fuck,
get in and get out.
I'd rather fucking foreplay the shit out of it and just kind of get hers before, and then after, whatever happens, but.
Yeah. If people ask you to listen to this long, no, they're going to be like, what the fuck did we get into here?
I actually, like, some podcasts that talk about that shit I fucking love, because I feel like everyone can relate to just, I mean, other than people that don't have sex, sorry.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's some fucking group you can join now that will
have a protest or something.
Yeah, have a protest for people having sex, sorry. But I feel like most people can relate to most sex stories.
Yeah, that's true. I agree.
Other than it's not like BDSM shit.
Yeah.
I've never been into that.
No.
Oh,
neither. I haven't either. But I was gonna say probably the one class I learned the most from in high school, other than sex ed, was probably personal finance.
Who did you have?
I had Miss Fink.
I had Ed McCaffrey.
Oh, I never had that guy, but everybody hated that guy. Did you like that guy?
I was indifferent of him. It was a class right after lunch. I slept every day.
Oh.
I cheated on the test. And I can't say I didn't like him because I didn't give my best effort. That's why I think, like, high school is fucked.
Yeah.
Kids don't care.
No.
But once you get in your mid to late 20s, I think you start caring. I think, like, we start school too fucking early, maybe. I don't.
Yeah, it's almost like we get out of school too early.
That's when you want to start learning.
Yeah. I mean, I honestly, like, yeah, if you think about it, it's like if you graduate high school at 18 or whatever, 17, but by the time you're 18, you're off to college, you're expected to, like, know everything. It's like, even when you go off to college, it's like, this is, like, the first time, if you grow up in a normal household, or, like, you know, the American household, where, yeah, I'm sure that, you know, pisses people off.
Yeah, you're treading in deep water.
Yeah.
This time.
But, like, that's the first time you leave your home, your parents' home.
Yeah.
You know? So, like, not only do you have to adjust to that, but now you have to adjust to a new city, you know, new people. Like, I feel like that is such a fucking roller coaster of emotion. I mean, fuck, I remember taking my sisters when Kelly went to Madison when I was just before my sophomore year of high school.
Did you cry?
I don't remember if I did. I'm sure I did. I remember my fucking parents bawling, like, I mean, just, that was an awkward car ride home. It's me, Caitlin, mom and dad. And then when we took I didn't even go when Caitlin went. I didn't go to move her in. But I remember I was sleeping because I think I worked like a part-time shift the night before. And she came, woke me up. It was like 6, 7 in the morning. She's crying. She's like, oh, bye, see you later, whatever. And I was like, oh, yeah, have a good one. Yeah. Have fun in Minneapolis.
There you
go. Yeah, peace. Yeah.
Have fun in Minneapolis. That means a little something different nowadays.
Yeah. You don't know what the hell you're getting to there. But then, like, I do think about, like, when I moved away from out of the city of Junction City, Stevens Point area, it was definitely a wild, you know, I was just turned 21, and I was like, holy fuck. Like, I remember, like, it honestly took me about a half hour to realize, like, what I was doing.
Yeah.
Like, it was tough.
Now, I was a little older than you, and, I don't know, me and my fucking parents cried. Jeff still hates to admit that he got a little choked up, my stepdad. And, I don't know, after we fucking cried a little bit, that's all it was.
Yeah.
And then I took off the lacrosse, and I don't think we've cried ever since, like, whenever our paths met anymore. Like,
no.
It was just that initial whatever.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I was, like, fucking almost 24 years old.
You're almost 25, aren't you?
Maybe 25, yeah.
Or, no, you're 24. Because, well, I'm only thinking because when we were in the back of Polito's and they were searching me with that fake ID.
There's so many things that... That was in, but...
That felt so good.
Yeah. I think you might be right. Maybe I was 24.
I don't think...
2010...
Well, you were born in 85.
Yeah, I would have been 24 and then turned 25 in November.
Because the only reason why I honestly think I remember that is because the cops are like, what are you doing hanging out with a 24-year-old? And it was like right before we moved to La Crosse.
The guy's a man.
I was like, yeah.
That's why.
Fucking awesome guy.
Yeah.
what's his address?
Yeah.
I don't fucking know. He lives in Plover.
I hardly know my own address.
Yeah, no shit. I don't even know where I live.
Yeah, we got any fucking... Sorry we don't bring you guys a lot of sports, but fuck, there is.
I had a few people reach out to me, though, on the last podcast that, hey, really, the history of the downtown lacrosse since you guys been there? Pretty cool, you know, like, I know Will messaged me.
Oh, nice.
Had some other people.
I guess I just don't know. I haven't heard a ton from my listener friends, but...
Did Armo ever? Did you ever ask Armo?
I got to admit, it was kind of a blurry weekend for me.
Oh,
like
never.
And me and Armo weren't in the same golfing group, so we didn't get a ton of time. But me and him both, of course, woke up at about 7:30 and booked it right away.
Yeah.
Everyone else was sleeping, but...
Got to get.
Yeah, I just feel like Armo's just... I know, there's some people that don't want to listen to our shit.
It's free country.
Yeah. Some people like a flag, some people don't. That's the greatest thing out of this country. You don't... There's no dictators. Dictatorship. Dictator. Dude, we should make a fucking... We should make a tater top casserole called Dictatorship.
That was rough.
What, I wonder what I could say. Like, I wonder what I could put in a dictatorship casserole.
Maybe some of your cooking with semen.
Maybe some Korean barbecue.
Yeah. God damn it.
I'm going to have to end this.
Yeah, it's time to go.
All right, well, boys and girls, mostly boys, I think we honestly only have one girl that listens.
Your might picture? Be.
Two.
Both two or sisters. Three. Actually, I don't know. There might be like four or five.
Who?
I don't know if Ethan Ross and his wife listen.
Oh.
I'm not sure.
Well, shout out to them.
I'm not sure if Jocelyn and Aaron listen together.
Who knows anymore, man?
Yeah, it's just...
It's been a struggle, man. We've been trying to get our clicks.
We don't... Like,
Evelyn hasn't ate in a few days because my fucking views haven't been up, but...
Their Anchor's now making us paid to put this on. Yeah.
Anchor's fucking making us fucking show us dick pics.
Oh, God, isn't that the worst?
Yep. All right, well, speaking of dick pics, Kawhi, what do you think of dick pics?
I think they should be private, and... I mean, I don't like to do them, but if I do, I try to have an erect penis. With that being said, what it do, baby?